Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Apostle Paul continues to go on and says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." What I did is I highlighted the word communication there in verse 29 and drew a line from there with my highlighter up there to verse 22 as concerning putting off the former conversation. Okay, and the former conversation has to do with those things which center upon Adam's aspiration and lasciviousness, as we see in verse 19. All right, the Gentiles, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work on cleanness with greediness. But the Lord does not instruct us in this manner. He instructs us according to His own mind, so that we don't walk as the Gentiles walk, that is, in cadence with their passions. We walk in cadence with the passion of God, from the image of the throne, and not from the passion of man, which is from Satan's perception, the image of Satan, that which is of the flesh. So you can highlight that, verse 22, in a former conversation, and also in verse 29, corrupt communication. The corrupt communication is that gospel which addresses the dispositions of Adam and his fears. Whereas we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, unto the church of Laodiceans. Whereas the Apostle John says, "But thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." The gospel, according to flesh, is that which steals, kills, and destroys, because it robs the heart of faith. And it directs Adam, instead of into humbleness of mind, it directs Adam into the boast of one's aspirations, and also that of the achievements of his principle. Again, we see the God quote being played out with two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the flesh, which is tethered to Satan's perspective, the kingdom of condemnation, that which is the object of God's wrath. The Apostle Paul began his epistle, again, is writing to those which are under his immediate stewardship. We see apostolic governance here. Whereas the saints here were admonished to increase and to grow in the grace and peace of God. And these things, these tools which God provided for us, was for the design intent of the praise of His glory. But corrupt communication does not follow that pattern. Corrupt communication follows the rhythm of the flesh, the cadence of Adam's kingdom, the kingdom of the flesh, tethered to Satan. So here we see in verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good." When he says that which is good, he's talking about that which is useful in the increase of God's kingdom, the habitation of God through the Spirit. Now we see that in chapter 2, verse 22. You cannot build the kingdom of God with the tools of the flesh, because the kingdom of God is that which is of the Spirit, not that which is of Adam's aspiration. The habitation of God through the Spirit, as Paul said. Now this is a mystery. It's a mystery because it's concealed from the aspiration of man. It's concealed from the carnal mind. Those which are spiritual confirm those things which are spiritual, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Corinthians. And therefore, judging those things which are spiritual, we're able to assess and place value upon those things of His kingdom. But the natural man, the carnal-minded, works for those things which are in rhythm of nature, the rhythm of his own soul, the rhythm of which is according to the flesh, according to the course of this world, according to the principalities and the powers of the air, which the Apostle Paul brings out, which he brought out and brings out again, in chapter 6. That's why you have to put on the whole armor of God. All the vestments of your priesthood is necessary for you to overcome. You have to overcome yourself, you have to overcome Satan, you have to overcome the world. The biggest obstacle that you're going to be engaged with is a contradiction that exists within one's own perception of life. Okay, and the stronghold of Satan is molded within the God, or not the God code with the moral code in man. Okay, the God code can work with those things which are unsanctified, but the things which are unsanctified work death. There is no reward for the moral code, but there is a reward for your faith. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews, God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor and love, which you have showed towards his name, okay, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Okay, see, the labor which God rewards us with is that which is connection to your priesthood, okay, that which is joined to faith. Now, with this, we're experiencing Christ's fullness, as he brings out in chapter 4, verse 13. Okay, in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, it is for this intent purpose, okay, that we come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so in verse 29, we see no corrupt communication. The gospel according to Adam, okay, which again measures Adam against his own frailty, okay, which is that which is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Okay, so the gospel which addresses those things is a gospel according to Adam, which is also the spirit of Antichrist, okay, because it's directly opposed to faith. Okay, it's directly opposed to covenant. Okay, and it's directly opposed to your priesthood. In other words, it's against God. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, in use of edifying. So you might want to underline or highlight the word edifying there. Okay, which the Apostle Paul, when he says the word edifying, he's talking that which proceeds out of your mouth, okay, which from the foundation of your heart. Okay, when the foundation of truth is laid within the heart, then your communication is going to be that which is according to Christ. Okay? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. So we see prophecy, okay, is the general purpose tool, okay, for all saints in this covenant. Okay, it's a general purpose tool, okay, which the Lord has designed, okay, and is specifically used in this priesthood, okay, after the order of Melchizedek, okay, a knowledge that sanctifies, a knowledge that saves. Now Jesus set this example when he spoke to his apostles before he went to the cross. Okay, when he spoke to them, we can read about that account there in the Gospel of John. Okay, whereas he says, "Now you are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you." Okay, and also when he says the word clean, he also used the word sanctified. Okay, the word sanctified has to do with that their engagement is by my selection. Their engagement is by my selection. Okay, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See, the engagement is by selection. Okay, and the selection is by calling. So that we be called, okay, as the Apostle John brings out, called, chosen, and faithful. Okay, there's a consistency with this calling. Okay, whereas you have to disengage yourself, okay, with the theology of Babylon, okay, and be engaged, okay, with the theology which is in covenant. Okay, the perspective of Babylon goes way back to Nimrod. Okay, whereas he began to engage, okay, in a form of philosophy, okay, that again infected the whole world, okay, because it was there, okay, that philosophy began to be spread abroad in every language, in every tongue, and every kindred, okay, and we can see that in the conclusion of this, okay, defilement, okay, it is going to be judged. We see that also in the book of Revelation. Okay, it was there when it began, and there is that same place where it's going to end. Okay, and this corrupt communication, okay, has gained a long-standing tradition, okay, and is rooted within every society, and is we call it Satan's acculturation. Okay, it was God that put the judgment upon Adam's aspirations there at Babel. Okay, and as God will again judge its aspirations, the aspirations of Babylon, okay, as we see in the book of Revelation in the seventh week. Okay, so let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, which is joined to that system, that perception, and that history. Okay, but that which is good to the use of edifying. This is your priesthood, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay, this is a responsibility of those in this covenant. Okay, that we build up the habitation of God through the Spirit. It says through the Spirit. Again, I say, it's through the Spirit. Okay, the spiritual things, not the carnal things. Okay, because the carnal things have a deep root in history, okay, with Babylon. Okay, and that's where the doctrine of Nicolaitans, again, received its affirmation and confirmation. Okay, its empowerment. All right, it's the hold of every foul spirit. Okay, and every foul spirit. Okay, that was founded there. Okay, had its influence even in Jerusalem. Okay, so again we see the rivalry, that we see the camaraderie, and then the rivalry of Babylon and Jerusalem. Okay, Jerusalem was pillaged and spoiled by Babylon, and Jerusalem was also restored, okay, to its former glory by Babylon. Okay, so we see the contradiction there. Okay, it's how it was assimilated, and how it also came out from among them. We see these prophecies through the lips of Isaiah even, where he says, come out from among them, be you separate. Isaiah 54 brings that out. Now that's the same message that God is giving to the church today. Identical. Okay, that those, okay, which profess Christ have to come out from and disentangle themselves from the philosophies of Babylon. Okay, the those of that century, okay, the century were of Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, and Joshua, son of Jozadak. Okay, they had to reestablish the temple. Okay, in a purity of priesthood. Okay, for God to increase the understanding of the people. Okay, and that's what the prophets prophesied, and that's what exactly what happened. Okay, and the same thing today. Okay, that's why the church has to come out from among them. Revelations 18, verse 4. Okay, so we can see the roots, okay, and also the memorial, and see the influence, see the history of this influence. Okay, so let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Now let's go to verse 30 here. Okay, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, okay, which I brought out earlier. Okay, now the grief, of course, has to do to reduce its effect. Okay, you're reducing the effect of the Spirit by what? By carnal things. Okay, when we talk about carnal things, we talk about those things which the Apostle Paul valued and assessed as dung. Okay, the things of Adam and the things of this world, okay, is valued by God to be equal to that of not himself, but as dung. Okay, the lowest form, okay, of fertilizer. Okay, the lowest form of fertilizer. Okay, so the Apostle Paul, okay, writing by the inspiration of the Spirit, in Philippians there, talks about as concerning the vile nature of man, okay, that which is vile. Okay, the reason why God put everything within that grouping, okay, is so that man would not trust in himself, but in him which raises the dead, so that no man could have any boast in himself, and no man can trust in himself, but in God which raises the dead. So we see that God assessed everything of the signature of man as vile, and all the works and his aspirations and his tools of the flesh is equal to that of dung. Okay? But those things which proceed from the throne is equal to God himself, and is holy and sanctified. Okay? It's holy and sanctified because it was covered in Jesus' blood. Okay? He shed his blood, okay, on this knowledge. Okay? This knowledge and this blood was given to his apostles. You see that in John chapter 17. Okay, and also in John 15, where Jesus addresses apostles, and he says, I am the true vine. Now, Satan is the false vine. Okay, it was his intoxicating knowledge, okay, that poisoned Adam and Eve, okay, and that brought defilement upon the flesh, where they lost the light of God through that form of hypnotic knowledge. It robbed the heart of faith, and it made Adam and Eve short-sighted, okay, dim-sighted, blind. okay, as the Apostle Paul also brings out. Okay, and Paul brings it out, as John brings it out. But thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. The word blind there, short-sighted. Okay, as the Apostle Peter brings out. Okay, that if we don't set, okay, our perspectives according to the throne of God, then also we become corrupt in our thinking and short-sighted, blind. Okay, so grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, that is to reduce this effect. Then we see the Apostle Paul said the same thing in the book of Galatians. Okay, in Galatians he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Well, how do you frustrate the grace of God? Now, Paul says, I don't frustrate it, but you do frustrate it. Well, how do you frustrate the grace of God? By the law, by the precept, because the precept works for the moral code. Okay, and people use the precept to give value, okay, to those things which they assess, which is profitable for themselves. Okay, and that's where hypocrisy lies. Because they're evaluating things according to that only which benefits themselves. Okay, and whereas they can exceed, okay, in their emulation, okay, and but exceeding in their emulation, okay, they set themselves at variance one to another. Okay, but this is not how the Spirit teaches us. The Spirit does not teach us to rival, okay, but to conform. Okay, it doesn't teach us to measure ourselves against one another's aspiration. Okay, it teaches us to build with the Spirit. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is what we live by. We live by the bread of God. We live by the light of His throne. Okay, this is what we keep before our face, so that we do not stumble. As the psalmist said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I set your word before me. Okay, and I set your word above all things. Okay, and it's by this word that we have life. This is what Abraham did. Okay, and he set a pattern for us. Okay, and Jesus is that living record which he set before us. Okay, so grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now the day of redemption has to do accumulation of all ages put in one time frame. Okay, and that is going to be in the 10th week, 7th part. Okay, this is where we enter into the inheritance of God. It's like God's birthday or God's Christmas day. Okay, how children are so enthusiastic to, you know, for the dawning of the next day to come, you know, December 25th, if you will. Okay, and open up their, you know, to dive in a tree and open up their Christmas presents, okay? Or one was looking forward to their birthday. It just depends upon whatever people value there. Okay, but God values the time, okay, where He can share or His glory with us. Okay, that is like His birthday, okay, His Christmas. Okay, and in a way, He has a Christmas tree, if you will, called the Tree of Life, right there in the middle of the city. Okay, which is the Tree of Life in the city, the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, and under that, of course, we'd be gathered together as gifts to the Lord. Okay, and we give ourselves to Him as His inheritance, and we also receive Him unto ourselves as our inheritance. Okay, this is a day of our birth. Okay, the day of our birth, our birthday, a day of giving, of exchanging of gifts. Okay, as concerning the times of inheritance. Okay, that's the 10th week, 7th part. Okay, that is the day of redemption. Okay, but we're experiencing this in part now. Okay, as we continue to feast unto that time. Okay, unto the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, you have your sequence of weeks there, okay, as we see in the book of Leviticus, building up to that time of festivities. Okay, the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, and such festivities, okay, where all the people come together and rejoice in the Lord. Okay, and that which they have taken in, they also give a tenth part of all of it. Okay, unto the Levites. Okay, so here there's a great rejoicing. Okay, and it's the same thing in that time, at the time appointed, the day of redemption. We're sealed. The day of redemption. Now, what are we sealed by? We're sealed by the Spirit. So that's why you can't grieve the Spirit. That's why you must work with the Spirit. You have to use the tools of the Spirit, the gifts, the callings, and the graces of God, government, truth, and spirit. All right, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay. You want to use these tools, okay, with diligence and enthusiasm, okay, so that you don't vex the Holy Ghost. okay, or reduce the effects of his work within you and the work of regeneration. Okay? So that if you grieve the Holy Ghost, he's going to leave you. Okay, and when he leaves you, of course, you're going to feel that nakedness, as he said in the book of Revelation. But thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, naked. Okay, because the doctrine Nicolaitans, okay, which is earthly things, those that were there in Laodicea, okay, were caught within that snare. Okay, they were caught within that snare there, and they became dim sighted. Okay, and becoming dim sighted, the corruption of false knowledge continued to eat the soul. Okay, in other words, if it's eating the soul, you have nothing to give to God. Okay, that's why your vessel must be full of faith, so that your soul, being full of the virtue of God, is a gift which you're giving to him on that great day. Okay, and every man will receive according to his works. Okay, the overcomer's rewards are all equal. Okay, but as according to the work of his spirit within you, okay, whereas God places a value upon you. Okay, and you'll receive your unique rewards according to that. It's concerning the inheritance, okay, of those dimensions which he has promised to you. Whereas you can function equal to him, okay, in other dimensions as gods. Okay, and now verse 31. Okay, we see the contrariness. Now the contrariness still exists with us in this flesh. Okay, but it was by God's design. It wasn't by chance, okay, or it was not a mistake in the design. Okay, as if God had a design flaw. Okay, there's no design flaw here. Okay, it was intended this way. Okay, so that it would continue to put us in mind of our labors. Okay, as Joshua said there in the book of Joshua, okay, that we would meditate upon these things day and night. Okay, that such an exercise of the will is pleasing to God, that you think on these things, as Paul said in Philippians 4:4, okay, or 4:4-8. Okay, think on these things. Now, if you think on these things, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out there, then the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, you continually be joined to him, okay, and your fellowship with him is unbroken, and your joy will be full, cycle after cycle after cycle after cycle. Faith into faith, grace into grace, charity into charity, fruit into fruit, see, virtue into virtue, okay, praise into praise. Okay, the cycle continues to be unbroken. Okay, and your fellowship with God, okay, is as a watered garden, okay, well-watered garden, whereas all those things which are sown within it, okay, which is a work of God's virtue there, okay, continues to send forth a sweet-smelling Savior. We see that in the Songs of Solomon, concerning the craftsmanship of God in the soul, the Song of Solomon, and his craftsmanship, okay, in the holy ones, okay, in the elect, and in the chosen, okay, as a well-watered garden. Okay, so let all bitterness, okay, bitterness has to do with it's the unwanted seed. Now, when we were in the kingdom of darkness, Satan sowed those things within our heart, those things which are not profitable for faith, which we call our former conversation. Okay, which your former conversation worked with deceitful lust in verse 22. Okay, deceitful lust has to do with those things, okay, which escaped notice. Okay, but it was beneficial for our aspiration. So we thought anything that's beneficial for our aspiration must be God ordained. Okay. Well, it's not sanctified by God, okay? But it does work with the signature. Okay? God ordained that, okay? But he did not sanctify, okay, its choices, because it's corrupt. Okay, anything that death touches, okay, is the opposite of life. Okay, that's why Jesus, okay, is life and Satan is death. Okay, so what fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has, the house of God, okay, with the temple of Baal? Okay, there is no communion between them. Okay, because that which is defiled cannot be mixed with that which is holy, or else that which is holy becomes defiled or profaned before the Lord. So bitterness is that which defiles the soul. Now bitterness, okay, works, okay, with also envy. Now these spirits, okay, gain entrance Okay, when our faith grows weak, and when our faith grows weak, we can see also that our fear of loss becomes more, more dominant. It wants to dominate your thinking, and that thinking, when it dominates your thinking, it puts you in the fear of man and puts you also in a state of seeking peace and security. That's the gospel according to Adam, peace and security of this world. Okay? Because it's always trying to resolve and bring equity in the heart by the moral code and cleanse the conscience by the moral code. Okay? But you cannot cleanse the conscience with the moral code. Okay? If you use the moral code to cleanse the conscience, okay, it's like using dirty water, okay? Which the Apostle Peter brings out. The soul is returned to the mud puddle where it was washed, okay? And the dog returns to his vomit again. Okay? Its point of contact is unprofitable. Okay? Because that which God initiated for the cleansing, okay, is then used for the aspiration, okay? And it becomes defiled. Okay, in verse 31. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Clamor, of course, has to do with loud evil speaking. Okay, and evil speaking also has to do with the communication of false knowledge. Okay, again, these things in verse 31 is talking about the moral code, okay, and how it desires to dominate your faith. Okay, when it dominates your faith, okay, it puts you in a state of corruption, defilement, wretchedness. Okay, okay, and then you're on a journey all your life, okay, to try to resolve these conflicts and to purge the conscience. Okay, and you feel that each achievement that you're making application with by the moral code, okay, is purging the conscience. But it doesn't purge the conscience. All it does is it subdues its voice. It's just drowning its voice. Okay, but it's still there. The only thing that purges the conscience, okay, is that which is holy, okay, which is Christ Himself. Okay, and being Christ, okay, we exercise our faith because that is Christ. He is the faith of the Lord. Now, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, okay, these spirits, okay, want to dominate your thinking. Okay, and it gains entrance to the imagination by false knowledge. And evil speaking, there's the word speaking again, so we might want to highlight the word speaking there. Okay, so if you have your highlighter handy, you can highlight the word speaking and draw a line from the word speaking there to the word communication, corrupt communication. He says, you have to put this away. Okay, now, putting it away has to do with a selection and choice that you have to make. Okay, that you're not going to use these tools, okay, that defile the conscience, okay, and also keeps the soul empty of virtue. Okay, so he says, put these things away from you with all malice. Okay, yet that which, of course, malice again has to do, okay, with assessing things. Okay, aggressively assessing things in the light of envy. Okay, as we see between Cain and Abel. Okay, Cain assessed his brother Abel as a point of competition of his parents' affection, okay, as well as also with the choices of those whom they would marry. Okay, and also, Cain was irreligious. Okay, he was religious only to the point of necessity, all right, in order to appease the desire of his parents. Okay, but other than that, he looked at it as being rather weak. Okay, but he was religious. He was religious in his own right. Okay, but irreligious is concerning the faith of God. Okay, so here we can see that by casting that evil eye, okay, upon his brother Abel, okay, that evil eye or evil, he began to speak evil of him. You see envy, okay, and malice. Okay, look at his form of aggression there, which is murdering his brother. Now, that's what the moral code does, and that's what why you don't want to work with that, because a moral code works with a law, and that law, again, only consents to the conscience defiled. So the law, as the Ten Commandments, or the Beatitudes, or the prayer of Jabez, okay, which was famous there a few years ago, that prayer of Jabez, the book, and the rave of it, really accomplished nothing in the church. Okay, all it did was make money, okay, off the ignorance of the saints, but it did not put them in a state of grace, if you will, okay, whereas they were using the tools of the covenant. Okay, all it did is put them in a state, in a frame of frailty, and a frame of mind of fear, okay, and not of fruit. Okay, so put away from you these things with all malice. Okay, and then he says here, you do this by this, be kind one to another. Okay, because we're kind to one another by issuing of that grace. Okay, so be you kind one to another, tenderhearted. Okay, as not to be aggressive in principle. Okay, because the purpose of the assembly is to build, not to destroy. Okay, and as we keep our focus upon the kingdom of God, okay, then the things which were of our own personal value begins to lose value. Okay, those things which we assessed in our past to be valuable, okay, we begin to lose our grip upon those things. And therefore, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Okay, God for Christ's sake, which means God set the pattern of forgiveness within him. Okay, and this pattern of forgiveness is found in a record. Okay, and if it's found in a record, then this is a practice, okay, which is okay, and that which we apply ourselves, okay, with this form of activity, a practice. Okay, this is what we're exercising our will with these things. God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Okay. All right, now we come up here to chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says, therefore be you followers of God as dear children. Okay, followers of God. How can you see something that's invisible? Okay, well, you can't see it if it's invisible, but we can see it if it's within a record. Okay, and this is what Jesus was explaining to his apostles before his death on the cross and his resurrection. He told his apostles concerning, now you're going to be able to see me, but the world cannot see me, will not see me or receive me. And this was rather baffling to their logic. So that's why the apostles began to ask him, how is it that we're going to see you, but somebody else is not going to see you? Okay? Of course, Jesus goes on to explain this. Says, yeah, you will take notice of this record which I'm providing for you. You will see me by the record which I'm giving to you. The world cannot receive me, nor see me, because they don't understand this record. If you knew what the record of Christ is, then you'd be able to behold the face of the Lord. But if you don't know what the record of Christ is, you're not going to see the face of God. Okay, but you're going to try to create a relationship based on the imagination, okay, and your sense of security of the moral code. So the moral code becomes a rival and an enemy of faith. Because it was not designed for the purpose of faith. If the moral code was designed with the purpose of faith in the mind of God, okay, then all those born of the flesh would be automatically righteous. Okay, because all they'd be doing is following the pattern of the moral code with the signature. Okay, and everything would be assessed according to what they associated with, or what they labored with, okay, or what they were prejudiced with. Okay, people are prejudiced by knowledge, they're prejudiced by money, they're prejudiced by race, okay, they're prejudiced by language, they're prejudiced by location. Okay, but all those things are founded in the moral code. Okay, that's in the moral code. It's not found in faith. Okay, so if all those that were born of the flesh were automatically righteous, then Christ never had to come down and die on the cross to remove us from that power, that empowerment. Okay, whereas by removing us for that empowerment, he was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was written against us. It was a testimony of the flesh. The ordinances were a testimony of the flesh, that the flesh was not equal to God. Okay, and his value was an abomination to him. Therefore, Paul called it vile. Okay, so be you therefore followers of God. Be followers and imitators of the Spirit. So highlight the word God there in verse 5 and put the word Spirit over that. Okay, as dear children, okay, we are the offspring of the Spirit, so let's follow the Spirit. Okay, if we follow the things, okay, of Adam's nature, okay, if we're following in rhythm of nature of man, then we are called the enemies of God because we're hostile to grace. Okay, those that follow the rhythm of nature are hostile to the rhythm of the Spirit. Okay, and being hostile to them, okay, to the things of the Spirit, okay, they are considered the enemies of God. Okay, therefore, being the enemies of God, they are following the spirit of this world, which is Antichrist. Okay, so here, be you therefore followers of God as dear children. Follow this pattern. Okay, be at peace among yourselves. That's why Jesus told the apostles, be at peace among yourselves. All right, because even Jesus realized concerning the conflict of personality. He realized that. Okay, mostly when James and John wanted to excel the other brethren there, and says, Lord, we would desire that this great reward of having our thrones, okay, on each side of your throne there. And that's, of course, the sons of Zebedee had their mother petition Jesus in this manner. Okay, and of course, the apostles understood what was going on right here. They thought, wow, you know, they became jealous within that aspiration and ambition. And that's why Jesus says, it's not for me to give you these things, it's of my Father to give you these things. In other words, it's at the appointed time. Okay, at the appointed time, the thrones which have been prepared for you, okay, will be realized. But until that time, I want you to focus on ministry. Okay, I want you to focus on these things of your priesthood, particularly prayer. Okay, because through this union of prayer, your joy will be full. Okay, and your perspective will be always that of the throne. Okay, and your peace will always be of my kingdom. Okay, so therefore, my kingdom will come and my will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It will be done in the soul as done within mine. Okay, so that therefore there will be it will be complementary communication, okay, as soul joined to soul. Okay, because he that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. Okay, and this is what he says here in verse 2, walk in love. Okay, let your charity always be agreeable to those things which are God's perspective, the perspective of the Spirit. Okay, but you don't want to be little children in your thinking, okay, and your understanding you want to be men. And malice be you children, but understanding be men. Okay, and when he says a malice be children, he's not saying that as to pursue that. Okay, because you don't want to be entangled in that malice. Okay, you want to remove your foot from that snare because Satan takes advantage of that. Okay, and that's what Paul brings out earlier in chapter 4, verse 28. Okay, let him know that stole steal no more. Okay, the gospel of theft. Okay, the knowledge of this world steals faith from the soul and puts you in a state of competition. Okay. So walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. Now I've heard this word here, walk in love, numerous times in the past. Okay, whereas people which were disagreeable with truth, okay, would say that that love or compromising of the emotion is more important than truth. Okay. But again, that's unscriptural. Okay, yet they asserted that things were scriptural only because of misinterpreting this one verse right here. Okay, they says, let's put aside doctrine and let's exalt Jesus. The thing of it is, you can't separate Jesus from truth because he is truth. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. You can't separate me from myself and then expect me to and then expect to walk according to this fellowship. Okay, because your fellowship with God is based upon this knowledge, not apart from it. And people that make that kind of statement really don't realize what they're talking about. Okay, it sounds spiritual, but it's deadly in its outcome. Okay, it sounds spiritual, but it's corrupt in its communication. Okay, so when he says walking in love, he says, let it be in cadence with the Spirit, so that in charity we're building up one another. Because follow after charity, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Okay, you desire, which means let these things always be before you. Okay, use the tools of the covenant, okay, so that you will not be found naked in the presence of the Lord. That when the eye of the Lord, being present in the assembly, beholds the faith which is within you, he wards you accordingly, according to your faith. That's why Jesus said that. Let it be according to your faith. Okay? In other words, the eye of the Lord is present. All Jesus was saying, the eye of the Lord is present. Let faith be within your heart, and he rewards you accordingly. So, according to your faith, be it unto you. So, let your choices always be with faith. Okay? So here he says, walk in love. Okay, let this communication, okay, of charity, okay, as dear children, okay, let this be continually communicated, as Christ also has loved us. How did Jesus love us? Okay, he gave us the understanding of the will of God. As Jesus says, if my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And that's what Paul's saying right here, as Christ has loved us. Okay, Jesus gave us the holy knowledge. Okay, Jesus gave us hope. Jesus gave us peace. Jesus gave us purpose. Jesus gave us understanding. Jesus gave us wisdom. Okay, we were created with this intent in mind, okay, that our fellowship with God, okay, would remain sealed within him. That's why we don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. You don't want to grieve or to reduce the effect of the spirit within you. Okay, so if the work of regeneration is broken, okay, then that shows that the conscience is defiled. Okay, but if your faith continues to grow, as Paul admonished the Thessalonians, okay, that you would abound and increase in charity and also increase and abound in faith, that we abound with these things, in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Okay, then if we abound in these things, then we will. Then there will be no cause of stumbling or offense, as the Apostle James also brings out. He that is perfect. Okay, he that is perfect, that is in these things, in your priesthood, okay, there is no offense. Okay, so walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself. There's the word himself there, so you might want to highlight that verse 2 there, himself. Why? As a point of contact. Okay, he gave himself as a point of contact, not the Virgin Mary. He says, and has given himself. All right, the Virgin Mary is not even mentioned here. Okay, neither is the word tithing. Okay, or the circumcision of the flesh, or the observing of the natural Sabbath day, okay, or the new moons or festivities of the Jewish law, but he gave himself as a point of contact. He fulfilled everything in himself. Jesus, I didn't come down to destroy, but to fulfill. In other words, the law is still initiated for the moral code, okay, but it's removed by faith. Okay, so you want to keep that in mind. The law is here for the purpose of the moral code, okay? Because the law addresses the moral code, okay? But the law is not a faith. The law does not address your faith. Okay? Those that are of faith are free from the law, okay? And those which walk by faith do not offend, okay? But there's no offense in faith. Okay? That's what he says about loving one another. So walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering. Okay, this is what we offer. We offer back to God himself. Okay, we offer back to God himself. Okay, and a sacrifice to God, that's what he says right here. He gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Okay, and it's because it's equal to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Okay, so we're offering back to God himself. Charity. Okay, that's why God is love. That's what the Apostle Paul says that God is love, and the Apostle John says God is love. They are in agreement with each other, as this is also Peter. Okay, God is love. Okay, God is truth. And remember, so you can't separate the two from each other because they are one. Okay, truth and charity, the reason why the apostles made distinction there was for the purpose of functionality. Okay, not for making them individual entities, as if, well, I don't want you as an individual, but I want him over there as an individual. You can't separate the two because they're one. Okay, only Lord himself made distinction there for the purpose of empowerment and for the purpose of your faith. Okay, the record is for your faith, and God empowers that, okay, as he empowers the words of your mouth, charity. Okay, the empowerment, the Spirit works for the knowledge. Okay, so that our word unto you was not in word only, but in deed. Okay, and also the Apostle Paul brings out in Corinthians. Okay, that our word unto you was not as according to the wisdom of this world, but according to the power of God. Okay, the Spirit works with the holy knowledge, which gives faith to the heart, okay, which brings life to the soul, cleanses the conscience, and fills the soul with all the fruits of God. Okay, now look at verse 3 right here, the rivalry. The rivalry and contradiction exists within the flesh, which the law addresses. Okay, because the law was not written for a righteous man, as the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. The law was not written for the righteous man, okay, but for the lawless, those outside a covenant, those which would refuse government of God. The law was written and addressed those things of the moral code, okay, that is not sufficient. Okay, so when he says the word fornication right here, he's not only talking about as concerning the symbolisms of a physical engagement, a fruitless physical engagement, but he also talking about the fruitless spiritual engagement of false knowledge. Those which engage themselves with false knowledge are fruitless in their soul. That's why they're called ungodly, because ungodliness means fruitlessness. The soul remains fruitless. They're called sinners because they're resisting grace. Okay, they're also called wicked, because they're using the aspiration, the principle, as their God, to dominate, to control, or to destroy one another with. Okay, and of course we know that works for the moral code. Okay? Those things which are profitable for the soul work with the moral code. Okay? Those things which are profitable for the soul work with faith. That's why it's also written that without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that comes to God, that's in your priesthood now, must believe that he is. That is concerning our source of engagement. Okay? And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's the word seek again. Okay? The word seek, which means to remove the barriers so that your reason is not clouded. Okay? Or, okay, it's not... The obstacles to your good reason are not there as a stumbling block. Okay, the obstacles to your reason, of course, would be that which is of tradition or custom, okay, or your education or your previous associations. Okay, and that's why the Apostle John brings that out, okay, that they took nothing of the Gentiles. Okay, and we see that in 3 John. Okay, in other words, they did not associate with the Gentiles for their increase, but rather they continued to submit themselves to grace and faith. Okay, so fornication right here in verse 3 right here has to do with an unprofitable form of contact, and that is with false knowledge. Okay, and this false knowledge, what does it do? It makes the soul defiled, uncleanness. And what does uncleanness do? It works to covetousness. Okay, the absence of faith. Okay, so this point comes here right here. At this point right here in verse 3 is a point of discernment for you. Okay, when those which claim to be of God's kingdom pursue covetousness, it's because their faith is absent. Okay, their faith is absent. Why are they coveting? Okay, because of the fear of lack. Well, what's the fear of lack? What's the result of that? Okay, the fear of lack, the flesh. Okay, the motive of sin. Flesh is the motions of sin. Because it carries with it that testimony. Okay, the spirit carries the testimony of Christ. The flesh carries the testimony of Satan's kingdom. Okay, we see that all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Okay, when Adam lost that glow, when he lost that light, he carried the testimony of Satan. Okay, and that was an abomination to God. And that's why God cursed it and its labors. Okay, and that's why the flesh had to be smitten. Okay, the flesh had to be chastised. For the purpose of releasing its life. And that's why when Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The smiting of my flesh is unbearable. Okay, but that was to release the life which was in him, which is our life. Okay, he provided a covenant in the flesh to remove the power of sin in the flesh, so that even though we're in the flesh, we can serve God acceptably, as the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, so fornication right here in verse 3, it has to do with unprofitable engagement. It's an unprofitable engagement, and false knowledge does not produce faith in the soul. Okay, but false knowledge makes the soul wretched. False knowledge makes the soul poor. Okay, the false knowledge makes the conscience miserable. Okay, and so it's wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Okay, that's what the false knowledge does to the soul. That is the gospel according to Adam. Okay, the gospel of Adam always addresses the state of the flesh. The state of Adam's frailty, for the improvement of that, okay, and that Adam would pursue unto holiness. Okay, but how can he pursue to holiness without the tools? And he can't do that without the Spirit of God. That's impossible. Okay, but people can, I can say, wrestle the moral code into a form of godliness and yet not have the power of God to confirm it. The Apostle Paul brings out in Timothy 1:16. Okay, as concerning they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. So that's why I say, why do I need government for my moral code? Okay, well, government is not for your moral code. Government is for your faith. Why do I need truth for my moral code? Because truth isn't for the moral code. Truth is for your faith. Why do I need to speak in tongues? Why do I need the Spirit? Okay, the Spirit doesn't do anything for my moral code. That's right, because it wasn't designed by God for the moral code. It was designed for your faith. Okay, so that's what he says here. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Becometh saints, which means being born of him. So whosoever is born of God, as the Apostle John brings out, okay, whosoever born of him sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Okay, the adversary has no place of entry if you're not using your imagination with the moral code. The adversary only gains entrance through the back way, which is imagination. All right, let's go on to verse 4 right here. Now, these things also are born of the moral code, not of faith. Okay, filthiness, all forms of contamination, okay, which is, again, with your perception. Okay, the biggest obstacle and contrariness to God is the imagination, which works for the moral code, okay, which works with all those things, okay, which whereby you are defiled and associating with, that you thought at one time was valuable. Remember when you're in high school or in grade school, okay, that you would gravitate to those people who you felt were that you wanted to use as a form of association. Okay, for the girls would gravitate around what they felt was the most beautiful girl, and the guys would gravitate around the guy that what they felt was the most powerful. Okay, they would gravitate around those things. Guys would also go, male and female would gravitate around those which are of intellectual, okay, or those which are of emotional character. Okay, those which stood forth in their signature is what they gravitated to, and that's what the system honored. The system always honored the signature of man. Okay. The whole system, okay, honors those achievements, but the system of God does not do that, okay, because it was of that achievement, then God would honor man for the talents he gave him, and God would honor man for the skills which he gave him. God would honor man for the singular intelligence which he gave him, and he doesn't do that. It would be honoring a fish for being a fish. Okay, let's have fish honoring day. Let's honor the fish today. Let's make an image unto the fish, and let's honor the fish. And that's what they did in idolatry. Okay, idol worshiping is the honoring of the image and one's aspiration. Okay, a whole philosophy is poured into that image. Okay, so that man, looking at the image of the idol, sees himself and honors himself as looking in the mirror. Okay, and forgetting that this image that he's looking at is accursed of God. Okay, so neither filthiness nor foolishness. Now, foolishness has to do with walking one's folly, okay, which is like absent-minded activity. Foolishness is like absent-minded activity. It's activity of absolutely no value, okay, other than pleasures. Okay, that's foolishness. You see this all the time on television. Okay, how people are giving themselves over to pleasures, okay, the pleasures of the flesh, is foolishness. That's why it's foolishness with God. Okay, because there's no value in it, there's no billing in it, there's no reward in it. Okay, death dominates that perspective, that pleasure. So neither foolishness nor filthiness nor foolish talking, he says. He calls it foolish talking. Okay, which is a form of communication based upon, again, okay, the aspirations of man. Nor jesting, as to compete, to compare, okay, or as to demonize. Okay, foolish jesting. Okay, which are not convenient. It's not becoming of righteousness, but rather giving of thanks. Okay, which has to do with that a frame of mind of submission to grace. Humble submission. But this you know, in verse 5, that no whoremonger, okay, as the Apostle Paul is bringing up from the spiritual to the natural, okay, that these things work all kinds of uncleanness. But for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, there's the word covetous again, okay, who is an idolater, which I brought out earlier here, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Okay, because nothing is born within you by these things. These are things which keep you earthbound. You don't want to be tethered to the soil, okay, because everything that's of the soil goes back to the soil and works death. Okay, so a person that follows this pattern is in cadence with the flesh, the natural things of this world, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Okay, now verse 6. Why would you be deceived? How can you possibly be deceived, okay, with a whoremonger? How can you possibly be deceived with those things which have idolatry? How could you possibly be deceived those things which, okay, identify covetousness, okay, or foolish talking or jesting? How can these things deceive you? Okay, the deception comes because it enters into the moral code, the door of the moral code, doesn't it? Okay, and entering into the door of the moral code, we find that there's certain flattery within it. Okay, the deception has to do with that it has an appearance of godliness. Okay, that through will worship, we can wrestle, okay, these demons into a position that would be favorable for those things which would be the honor of man. This is why Jesus says, you're not of Abraham, you're of your father the devil. Now, Jesus was speaking to the religious elite of his time. The religious elite who gave great, a great enormous amount of time unto study of the Torah, okay, and of the letters of the Torah. They had all kinds of answers for the Torah of precepts. But Jesus says, your thinking has been demonized. Okay, and this is seen even within your activity. Okay, because you're exercising, okay, you're exercising your moral code against the righteousness of God. Okay, so the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. Okay, that Jesus is speaking of himself as that stone. Okay, I am the building block of all faith. Okay, I am that building block. But you have used yourself as that building block. That itself is your own stumbling stone. Okay, so let no man deceive you with vain words. A gospel that talks about your wretchedness, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked is the gospel of Satan. Okay, which kills, steals, and destroys. Why? Because it doesn't provide substance in the soul for faith. Okay, no fruit unto holiness and unto praise of God, which Paul brings out in chapter 1, that we be to the praise of the glory of his grace. How can you be to the praise of his glory of his grace with vain words? Vain words. Okay, knowledge which is unfruitful for the soul. Okay, so what they do is like a theological makeover. Okay, it's the same gospel of Baal. Okay, just with a makeover. Okay, it's like the painting a church. The structure of the church didn't change. Okay, just the color of it. Okay, but it's still the same thing. Okay, and we see the contrariness that existed when in the times of the judges, in the times of the kings, and when the chronicles were written. Okay, is that same conflict and contradiction that exists today? The rivalry of the false religious system to that which is of the government of God. Okay, that same rivalry exists. Okay, but the thing of it is that the rivalry existed. The deception, okay, had its roots in things which were similar to man's nature, and it's the same thing today. Okay, the gospel that addresses the pleasure of man, okay, is that which will pervade, okay, over the minds of the carnal-minded. Okay, but the gospel which is according to truth, okay, is that which those which truly are hungering and thirsting after righteousness desire. Okay, those which desire these things, those which hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. That is a promise which the Lord made. Okay, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, setting aside those barriers, those theological barriers, those traditional barriers, those theological barriers, okay, which polluted the mind, okay, and brought everything down only to a carnal act. Okay, the fornication, which Paul brings out here. Okay, unprofitable contact. Okay, the sand people follow unprofitable contact. Okay, they're expending their energy with vain things, and they're calling those things their Jesus. Okay, that's not the Jesus, okay, that sanctifies your faith. Okay, that is a Jesus of their own imagination that flatters their endeavors. That's a Jesus of flattery, okay, not the Jesus of faith. So let no man deceive you, okay, with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So the Apostle Paul brings it right down to the lowest denominator. Those that follow the sand people, okay, will be buried in the sand. Remember, it's dust unto dust, ashes to ashes, and the works of the unrighteous are as ashes to ashes. Okay, the wrath of God comes upon, okay, those things which are as wood, hay, and stubble. Okay. Be not you therefore partakers with them, okay, because your joy will not be full with vain things, not with vain words, not with vain tools, not with vain things, okay, only with the things of Christ. For you were sometimes darkness. You notice the rhythm of the Spirit here in this epistle here. Okay, it shows the Apostle Paul says, do this, but don't do that. Okay, follow this pattern, but don't follow that pattern. Okay, this is the record which you have to embrace, and that is the record which you have to abandon. You have to abandon. You have to die to yourself. You must be crucified with Christ in order to live unto God. Okay, but in verse 8 here, for you were sometimes darkness, but now, at this time, as you're functioning in your priesthood, you are light in the Lord. This is what he says. You are light. Light. Okay, as Adam was in that light. Your fellowship is restored through the blood of Jesus. Okay, so now we can walk uprightly. Okay, and our perception is no longer of the devouring of one's passions. okay, but rather the eating of the bread of God. So therefore, walk as children of light.